belief that doesn't have implications isn't belief, it's surmise. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, I'm Mike Kellogg, and this is Key Life. If you are interested in honest and practical Bible teaching for struggling believers, you are at the right place. Here's Steve Brown.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Jonah as we continue with our Old Testament survey. For those of you who are just joining us, and I know those of you who have been with us know this, but if you were a Christian, you wouldn't mind me saying this because you would be compassionate towards your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're in the middle, well, we're hitting toward the end of a rather long Old Testament survey in which I introduce the book, give you some notes, some handles that help you understand it, and then I become a tour director and we go through the book, not line upon line and precept upon precept and verse on verse, but rather looking at some of my favorite passages in each particular book. After all, it is my broadcast, and I sound like Rush Limbaugh, and I will do what I want, so deal with it. So, at any rate, we're looking at Jonah. We're up to the book of Jonah. We're looking at some of the passages in Jonah. Yesterday, we talked about people really wanting to hear truth. Any thinking person is interested in finding truth about ultimate issues. You'd be surprised how many people are open to what we have to say, but closed to the way that we say it. If we would just be a little bit more like Jesus, people would listen. All right. I'm talking about in Canada and the USA. Now, there's some places where that's not always true. But with all things being equal, people are not uninterested in listening to your story. If you can say it with vulnerability and quietness and civility when you speak it. All right. I want you now to look at verses 7 through 9 of the third chapter of Jonah. And he, remember, Jonah has preached his sermon, 8 words, and then this happens. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh. This is the king. By the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. How about that? They listened, they believed, and something happened. Now, if you believe and nothing happens, then you didn't believe. You're just thinking about it. If I told you Dr. Gutsky's story. It's a funny story. If I've told it, it's worth telling again anyway. Dr. Gutsky was a friend of mine, and we used to have him at a church where I served. He's home with the Lord now. But a tremendous Bible teacher. Had an unbelievable effect on a number of great pastors in this country. And Dr. Gutsky at the church one time, well, it was in a study, he was telling me the story about a cult in Texas where they believed in entire sanctification. That meant that once you were baptized, you thereafter never sinned again. But you had to be baptized in water, and you had to be immersed. Well, they didn't have one of those big things you baptize people in this particular cult, so people had to be baptized in the river. So they got to talking, and the man said, I want to do it right now, but it was January, and it was cold down in the river. So they said, all right, I want to be entirely sanctified. I don't want any more sin in my life. So they took him down to the river. So old deacon got behind him, and he dunked him in. And this man came out of there. They had to crack the ice to get into it. The man came out of the water, and he said, thank you, Lord. I am saved. I'm sanctified. I don't even feel cold. The old deacon said, we've got to do this again. It didn't take. See, there's got to be, if you say you believe it, it ought to have some kind of effect in what you do and what you say and who you are and what you think. And if it doesn't, you're just thinking about it. Look around. Now, I don't mean you got to be perfect. I believe in the Ten Commandments. I believe in all the law in the Scripture. I believe that reflects the mind of God, but I don't do it all. But I'm trying. I mean, I'm not just... I'm not sitting around just grinning saying it doesn't matter. If you believe, then something ought to happen. It ought to be reflected in who you are, and if it doesn't, you're just thinking about it. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, and the answer to the 90th question says, how is the word to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation? This is the answer, that the word may become effectual to salvation. We must attend thereunto with diligence, preparation, and prayer, receive it with faith and love, lay it up in our hearts, and practice it in our lives. If you really believed what you said you would believed, and I'm asking myself the same question, I'm not just preaching it. You know, I believe that God is benevolent. I believe that he loves me without reservation or exception. I believe he's unconditional in his grace that he's given to me. I think he is never, ever angry at me because I have the imputed righteousness of Christ in my account. Then why am I so guilty? I mean, why can't I sleep at night? Why do I blush so much? Why am I so nervous? Why am I afraid? Well, I'm moving in the right direction. Got a long way to go, but I can see it working its way, and it's becoming something I don't just think about. It's becoming something I really believe. If you really believe it, some action follows. And if no action follows, then you're just thinking about it. All right. Let me show you something else. Look at the 10th verse. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God repented of the evil which he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Now, let me say something in regard to some questions that you might want to bring up. God does not repent. The language of the Bible is phenomenological. In other words, there was this statement about judgment, but God knew, God understood, God was not surprised, God didn't change his mind, because God is God and he is immutable. This is the verse, and there's some others in the Bible, that a lot of people who are involved in open theism suggest makes God a God who has decided not to know so we could be free. Now, I'm going to try and say this with gentleness and civility and kindness and graciousness, which is my nature. Those of you who are into openness theism are fruitcakes. No, I'm just kidding. But you're wrong. You want to read a if you're, and some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, and you say, well, explain it. It doesn't, no, it's not that. Yeah, it is important. But open theists, in their desire to be free and relate to a passionate God, have suggested that God in his sovereignty and his love, and they see that as the primary, and rightly so, attribute of God, suggests that God has lowered himself and limited his knowing power, so, and he's no longer immutable, he's limited his knowing power so we can be really free. Now, frankly, I think that's heresy. I think it's not something we ought to believe in. They use verses like this. Well, that's not what the writer of Jonah is talking about. He's not making a reference to the attributes of God. He's talking about the way it appeared to those who were looking from this side of heaven. If you are interested in reading a very, very good book, and I don't get anything for this, but he is a friend of mine, John Frame, who's my colleague at Reformed Theological Seminary, has written an outstanding book, if you're into this. It's called No Other God. John Frame is one of the most gracious, and I'm not, kindest, and I'm not, civil, and I'm not, persons I believe I've ever known. And he speaks truth so clearly that you just can't get away from it. It's called No Other God, and no, we don't offer it at Key Life, but you can get it at your Christian bookstore, or they can order it from you. It's John Frame, No Other God. Well, you say, well, what's God doing here? Well, first, you need to know that God knew that in 612 B.C., not that many years from the time when Jonah spoke, that the repentance didn't last and Nineveh was destroyed. I mean, that wasn't a surprise to God. God knew all of that. Howard Hendricks used to say that when I have someone doing for me what I should be doing for myself, I become an emotional cripple. God is not interested in solving problems. He's interested in developing people. And so God allows us to be free and to work at it. But God himself is God. Try to remember that. Now, the fourth chapter, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to make references to it today or tomorrow. This whole chapter shows the horrible perverseness of human nature. Now, that perverseness, surprisingly, is not found in Nineveh. I mean, they're the pagans. They're the unbelievers. They believed in child sacrifice. They worship bad gods. These were not nice people. The perverseness of human nature wasn't found in them. They repented. The perverseness of human nature is found in God's prophet, Jonah. And so tomorrow we'll spend some time on it, and maybe on Thursday too, looking at Jonah. This is not a really nice person. I'm not a nice person. And can we talk? You're not a very nice person either, and Jesus loves us anyway. When you think about that, I'm in. Hey, listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life tape / CD family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. This is how it works. When you give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or you write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8. Or you email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address and ask to be a part of the Key Life tape. CD family will do it for you. And thereafter, you will start receiving a tape or a CD, and you have to specify the format every 7 or 8 weeks. Now, these are not the tape broadcast. You can get those, and we'll tell you how if you ask us. These are places where I teach the Bible at Reformed Seminary, at a Bible conference, or a missions conference. And they're absolutely free. Keep coming as long as you want them. Listen, think about this and pray about it for me, would you? Maybe you've been called to stand in the gap financially with Key Life. I would appreciate that so very much, and so would many thousands of people who benefit but can't help us financially. In charge of your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, for any contribution when you request it is my thank you. I'll send you the Christmas meditation CD. Gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.